Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show. This week, the film Noah with Russell Crowe here on The Dean Show with our next guest coming in to discuss it, to review it, to give you his thumbs up or thumbs down about the film. He's the star of the show. The purpose of life is not to Harlem Shake, Imam John, when we come back here on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
And we're back here on The Dean Show to talk about Russell Crowe's film, Noah. And my next guest is no stranger to The Dean Show. He's the star of the show, The Purpose of Life is Not the Harlem Shake, which is a big hit out there. He's here with us all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Imam John, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. May the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you.
How you been?
I'm just praising the Most High, man. We're blessed.
Now, there's a big controversy to get into the film. One of the big controversies over the film is the substitution of the word God for the word creators.
Talk to the writers. They said that they replaced God with the word creator.
So we're going to go over the Islamic perspective of the film. But do we have a problem when we you know, use creator instead of using the word God?
Right. I heard some of the media outlets and some of the evangelicals. The concept of Asma'ullah al-Husna, the beautiful titles and descriptions that God has made about himself in the Holy Quran, and then the universality of linguistics to describe God, is that there are prophets sent to many nations. And the Holy Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولًا إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ, that no prophet was ever sent except for in the language, talking in the language of the people they were sent to. So for us, creator and God, with a capital G, both identify with the one who sent the Holy Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So either one's fine to us, and the Quran described him in both ways.
Now you're described as you saw the film and you did a review on it, an article, and quoting you, you said it was often boring, seemingly long and drawn out. Can you go ahead and expound on this?
Yeah, I wouldn't advise it for somebody looking for good entertainment. It's a real long, drawn-out movie, and the plot is very dark and shallow. And it's really, you know, from that aspect, obviously, it's a disservice to Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. But obviously, to many Christians and to many what you would call pseudo-deists or modern liberal folks, they really appreciated the movie, and they thought it was really inspiring. And it does cover without – there's some details that miss – but generally, the plot is quite biblical, so it's not an attack on the Prophet Noah by any means.
Now, tell us one of the biggest concerns that you had with the movie, and obviously we as Muslims, would be the depiction of Noah. I mean, we hold him to a high regard, don't we, as Muslims? You cannot be a Muslim unless you accept him along with Jesus, Moses, and all the other messengers that God had mentioned, Muhammad being the last. So the way that he's depicted, what would you have to say about that?
Yeah, so definitely Noah and all other prophets, the Quran tells us we don't distinguish amongst them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تفضلوا بين أنبياء الله, do not prefer one prophet over another. Many of our scholars say that he's being humble and he knows his special place amongst prophets. But in the general texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, we know that we should believe in all and hold all to a high special status that we love and respect and deep reverence for their message and their character. And so obviously we as Muslims are concerned about how they're depicted. And what I found is the depiction of this in Noah was by no means a mean of jest or mocking. It was just, unfortunately, you know, to an extent, you know, the biblical version, which we would disagree with in many ways.
Now, tell us, what I found odd was we know that Noah, peace be upon him, he called people for over 950 years to the pure monotheism, to worship the creator, the owner of mankind and everything in this universe, the one God, correct? And he was calling people to get on the ship, but Russell Crowe was keeping people off the ship. Did you find that ironic?
Yeah, and that's one of the major differences, is that the Quranic message and depiction of Noah is that of a merciful, compassionate, diligent prophet that's so concerned about the well-being of his people. He spent all these centuries just trying. He wasn't integrated with his society. He wasn't a nomad guy out in the middle of nowhere meant to bring the doom of humanity. As a matter of fact, he worked hard, and he did not know until the end of his messengership that he was to build an ark. That was something that came as a result of him trying and trying and trying and finally calling upon God and asking him, can you please give me guidance and solace? I feel like they will not believe. And so then he sent down that they will be punished. And so he built the ark. So obviously the Quranic depiction is that he's building the ark in the city and amongst people. And they're mocking and ridiculing, you know, this is nonsense. There's not going to be a flood that we're going to die in. And there were in the Quran, it says that there were many believers. You have many scholarly attempts at pinpointing it. But there were, you know, many believers who were following Noah and believing in his message. And they joined him and they were helping him build the ship. Not some trapped angel rock characters, as you will see in the movie. It was actually, there is some scholars that narrated that the angels facilitated it, but in general it was Noah, his family, and the believers, and so they were on the ship with him in the Quran.
So this wouldn't, before we go to break, this wouldn't be a Judeo, Noah wouldn't just fit in a Judeo-Christian story.
The story of Noah comes from the Judeo-Christian.
He actually has a big part in Islam, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. I would say if you look at the Quran, the depiction of Noah and the extensive discussion about Noah is actually more of that in the Bible. So the Quran has a much more special concern given to Noah than any other scripture on earth.
Yeah, but he's dear to our hearts. So you can't exclude the Muslims from Noah, can you?
Yes.
We're going to be right back with Imam John to continue discussing the film with Russell Crowe, Noah, here on The Dean Show. Right back.
Word can't have defects in it, can it?
If it is literally God's word,
yes,
it cannot have defects. I mean, but this was written by men. We know that this is a collection, right? Even if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel according to. Right. The thing about the Quran, and the biggest, and you know, I'll leave you with this, is the biggest thing for me is, if the Quran is exactly what it says it is, and this doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or not, if the Quran is what it says it is, the Quran is literally the word of God, delivered via Gabriel to Muhammad, who was an unlettered man who couldn't read or write, right? And he was just told to recite, right? That was the first thing, right? First thing he was told,
absolutely,
recite,
yes.
Right? So if it is literally the word of God, then that's pretty important to me. And before I became Muslim, I said, if this is the word of God, then I'm going to follow it, because I'd be stupid not to.
Is life just about party and play? And getting the bling bling? Find out the purpose of life at thedeanshow.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and tell all your friends and family about The Dean Show.
Back here on The Dean Show with Imam John, the star of the hit show, The Purpose of Life is Not to Harlem Shake, is it? You're this wonderful show. People can go, they can see it on YouTube. They type in The Purpose of Life is Not to Harlem Shake. What an awesome show you did. You also, you starred in the show Clearing the Many Misconceptions. Did a great job there. And now we got you back talking about the film with Russell Crowe, Noah. So we discussed earlier that no Muslim, we often say that no Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes and loves Jesus, peace be upon him, is that correct? And no Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes also in Moses, and Noah being one of those messengers that carried the same message as all the preceding messengers, which was obviously to call in the people to worship the creator, not the creation. And we didn't see much of that, did we? We didn't see, I mean, tell us, you saw the film. Did you see a lot of that, where he was calling people away from idolatry, away from human worship, creation worship, to worship the Creator?
Right. So that's the crux of the difference, is that basically God, time and time again, makes the depiction in the Quran of the problem with humanity is some form of polytheism, that people move away from their roots. Who created them and nurtured them and provided them and takes care of them, that is the one that we should live to serve and be in some sort of purposeful union with. And so people that worship rock, stones, people, their desires, money, entertainment, people that the center of their life is not that, is where people have lost their way. And so historically, there was a lot of idol worship and worshiping of the sun and the moon and the stars and the statues and people and things like this. And so the Quran actually depicts that there were five famous pious, righteous people that people really revered, and they were followers of Adam and the previous understanding of God through the beginning of mankind. But after their death, they erected these statues, and people started to worship them, and they used to hold them as the most dear answer to their prayers and giving of sustenance and things like this. So that was the most important thing in the Quran teaches us of Noah's mission, was to remove that polytheistic worshiping of the creation rather than the Creator. And obviously, their corruption and iniquity was also a part of that. And that's because of, when you have polytheism, then it removes you the purity of heart that one would have in having that special spiritual connection with the actual truth of their soul that is living and causing their body life because of the creative, mysterious, divine soul that was created there. And so that's the divine oneness of God, is in that oneness and the purpose of life that we're looking for. So in the Bible and in this movie, the story is basically from the very beginning, Noah is being told in dreams that you're gonna have to build the ship because mankind is doomed, and there is no hope. There's no calling to them. The problem also in the Bible and in the movie is that it was about iniquity and wickedness, that people have become evil and corrupt in general by their actions there, which is also a big problem, and people should always be working to eradicate social injustices and corruption. But polytheism is the most serious issue. And so Noah spent centuries trying to eradicate polytheism from society. And he kept telling them, he will forgive you. God is forgiving and merciful. And he will remove your sins. And he will give you grace. And he will not only send down rain, but he will send it down with fruits and wealth and good for you, instead of, unfortunately, what happened, which was the destruction of them.
Tell us now the Islamic version of the angels. You see in the film what happens is they have the concept of fallen angels who then they were covered up with the earth, made into like some lava, rocks, and then they came later to help Noah. What do we say about this?
Yeah, obviously the Quran is very clear, وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, that angels do not have this conscious choice that they live on. They have an awareness of self, but they are programmed. Just like the ant knows to build its colony and do its job, that's how the angels are. They just do what God has programmed them to do without thinking about why should I do this or can I do something else. So there is no such thing as a fallen angel. And I actually did a discussion with an interfaith group about this movie, and they were struggling with this. They're saying, okay, what is Satan then? So I tried to explain that Satan is a jinn. He is a being that is not a human and not an angel, but has traits from both, in that they have choice, but they have some sort of supernatural existence outside of our general realm here on Earth that isn't something we interact with generally. And so so basically the fallen angel concept is somehow mentioned in the Bible, and this is mainly from the concept of Satan and Lucifer and his fall from grace. But we understand that all angels in the Quran do what God tells them, and they are completely submitted to his will. They are Muslims not by choice, but by the way they were created inherently. Whereas people and jinn, they have to seek God. They have to choose. They have to struggle with their desires to become one with God in purpose by choosing to be a Muslim, a submitter to the will of God.
Now, you just said something profound, which has me go to my next question. You said the angels were Muslims, and now can you connect that with Noah being Muslim, Jesus and all the other messengers, and us today being Muslims, following that same way? What do you mean by that?
And that's what's interesting, and this is where it's very important for Muslims to be involved in the interfaith circles, because when you show people biblical verses of Moses and Noah and Abraham and Jesus teaching the religion they taught, which was to submit to the will of God and to follow his law and to connect yourself with him, this is the commandments. And so a Muslim is one who submits to the will of God. And so everything, the earth, the moon, the suns, the trees, the ocean, is all submitting to the will of God. Our bodies, regardless of what religion you want to choose and how you want to live your life, your blood is flowing through your body by the heart that's beating and the food is digesting, all because of a system that was programmed by God. And no person who believes in God could deny that. So at the end of the day, any Christian and Jewish person would agree that God was sending prophets teaching a message of submit to the will of the one God who created the universe. And that is what we call in Arabic Islam. And the one who does that is called a Muslim. So this is a very special, unique quality of the title that we have in our religious practices.
That is deep. That is profound. And it makes sense. Submission to the will of God. That's what a Muslim is. That's what we're doing. Jesus was a Muslim. Noah, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, they were all Muslims submitting to the will of God. You mentioned angels are Muslim, and the sun and the star, everything that's submitting to God is a Muslim. And we'll be right back with more with Imam John talking about the film Noah. We'll be right back.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the D Show with Imam John, we're discussing the film with Russell Crowe, Noah. And before we conclude, we're almost out of time. If the few minutes that we have left, tell us now, the next question that I want to ask you was the part that we know in the Quran, we believe that the flood was more localized. And this would be more accurate with science and the discoveries that we have. Can you go ahead and elaborate on this and the actual movie and the Bible talking of it being a more worldwide flood?
Right. Yeah, so basically right now and in the past few decades, you have a lot of people who are studying oceanography and geology and the sciences are coming forth. And so now you have a lot of people from the Christian Jewish community that are doubting and questioning the claim of an international worldwide flood, that was possible or whatever. And then you have a very reasonable response from the religious community that God can do whatever he wants to do. But interestingly enough, something that is quite unique in various issues regarding matters of science and things like that is that you will find the Quran and the Sunnah, the established teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, are all very much in tune and in very detailed explanation of a lot of scientific facts that are quite interesting. And so many of our scholars a long time ago, before science had reached where it was, they looked at the story and it doesn't say it was a localized flood and it doesn't say it was a worldwide flood. But they brought a few arguments to say that it has to be a localized flood. Number one being that according to our prophet, there's 1,000 years between Adam and Noah. And so then him living 950 years, now you have 1,950 years. So you have the progeny of Adam have exponentially grown across the world. And surely people didn't just live on top of each other. They moved across the earth. And so we have a principle in our Quran that says that God would never punish anybody in this life or the hereafter unless they had received the message of a messenger, understood it, and then they rejected it and sought to go against it. So the Quran depicts in time and time again that Noah was sent to his people. And many of our scholars said that only Prophet Muhammad, since he was the last prophet, was any prophet's message supposed to reach all people across the earth. That people, many prophets were sent to, all the prophets before Muhammad were sent to specific people. And so because of that, they said that the flood had to have been local to the area where Noah was and not something worldwide. Plus you have the issue of, you know, whatever, the Quran does not depict a miraculous coming of all animals on planet Earth into the ship. It actually tells Moses, actually the Bible does too, tells Moses to bring upon the ship with you two of the animals. Obviously, there are many animals that didn't exist in the area of Noah that existed in many places on the rest of the earth, and those animals would not have survived, and we would not see them today had there have been an international flood. So these are arguments by science, and the Quran has an answer or a solution to such problem long before modernity and the advancement of science. So that's something about the depth of Islam and its seemingly compatibility in all cases with scientific establishment in the last century.
Now, with our deep and profound love for all of the prophets, all of the messengers that God sent, now we know that obviously Islam is based on five pillars, the actions that you do. And then before that, you have the articles of faith, what a person needs to believe, the belief in one and one, only one God, the belief in the angels, the messenger, the books that were sent with the messengers, the divine decree, Qadr, and the day of judgment. Let's go back to the article of faith of the messengers. Belief in these messengers, exclude one, exclude all, you end up in the hellfire. So when we say we really love them, we love them. And now we have a depiction of Noah. And you discussed this, I believe you discussed it, I'm not sure. But you see in the film that he's laying there butt naked. Yeah. Excuse my language, but we would take strong exception to him being a drunk and also being depicted like this. Is this right?
Right. So basically, the Bible does have this depiction of.
I'm sorry. Let me just take this back because this is really sensitive. Russell Crowe was the one who was naked. We would never ever attribute anything of the sort to this blessed man, this blessed messenger. Please go ahead and continue.
Right. So yeah. So basically, the Bible has this account of Noah getting drunk and ending up naked somewhere. And so this is completely contradictory to all prophets' depiction in the Holy Quran and in the example of the Prophet Muhammad and what he has told us about the prophets. So this is a clear difference that you will find between the biblical narrative of many prophets in that there are some very grave sins and evil and unbecoming of a person who is sent to be an example of guidance and to bring God's revelation and His will to the people. So basically the Quran talks about all prophets as righteous, pious, people who emulated and embodied the message of God and were great examples that people would not go on the Day of Judgment arguing, well, I was bad because so-and-so prophet was doing this and that, and so why could I be accounted for such things? So obviously people need an example, and God touched their lives in a special way, even though they are human beings capable of human error. None of them made sins against what they knew to be God's will and what is of good character. So that's a clear difference between our religion in the Holy Quran and the depiction in the Bible in this movie.
Now, before we come to an end, I just have a couple more points. We're almost out of time. Tell us now, I think this is real important also. This is kind of a tangent on the side. When we, as those who are always trying to remain chaste, we're trying to remain righteous, we're trying to, we make mistakes all the time, but God is the most loving, the most merciful. But when we catch ourselves, let's say, watching, for instance, a UFC fight, and, you know, the ring girls come out, And the brothers, you know, you're supposed to be lowering your gaze, but you got a half a dozen of the rooms full of brothers and they just like hypnotized and they're not lowering their gaze, or they're watching a film, for instance. What should be, should the remote be in the hand, quickly to fast forward? Tell us some tips on what you should be doing if you're watching even a G or a PG rated movie, but sometimes you have a lot of, even in the cartoons, you got a lot of bad stuff coming up. Should that gaze be dropped fast?
Yeah, so as a Muslim, number one, the first thing is we would look to content of a movie. And there's a good app that you can have called Kids in Mind that I use even for myself that people made just so that people who plan to have children or people who have a moral mindset, that they go and they hash out every possible deviance from morality that they could. So basically, most R-rated movies have stuff that just isn't something that a Muslim would watch because its content is generally the themed in evil and corruption. So that's not something I would entertain myself with. So as a Muslim, we would not choose to watch a movie that is themed in something filthy and immoral. We would look for something that's either a decent, acceptable humor or a storyline that has some good meaning in it that is a decent form of entertainment. When you do choose something that's not themed in haram, it's not all about people getting drunk or using drugs or some horror, sick, murderous film or whatever. If you're watching a film or you're walking in the street or in the mall, you know, grocery shopping or whatever, you look away when you see something that is uncomfortable spiritually. And that's just something where you got to help your brothers and sisters out because people, either they're desensitized or they just have weak spirituality. So you would advise people to lower the gaze and look away and astaghfirullah, seek the forgiveness of God because he is greatly forgiving and merciful.
Okay, now tell us a recap. Do you give this movie a thumbs up, thumbs down, summarizing it before we conclude?
I give the movie both a thumbs up and a thumbs down. I have to be balanced in my approach. I give it a thumbs up because I so much more appreciated the Quran and I was so much more motivated to try to encourage Muslims to get involved in one way or another in film and television and depict morally sound, proper portrayals of realities and to bring a good influence and convey a message of goodness with our morality because it will be enticing. People will like what the Quran teaches if they come to know it in a modern depiction and portrayal. Obviously, a thumbs down in that I was very much kind of sickened by Noah's lack of mercy and compassion and seeking forgiveness and no campaign to try to bring the people to God's love and mercy as the Quran teaches. And I just felt that it was kind of a dark movie with, you know, the way it was portrayed. And it was, like I said, long and drawn out. So I wouldn't go advising people to go watch it, but if somebody did and people are curious, and that's another point that we just have to say that we have to stop the haram police attitude where everybody's out there condemning everybody and judging everybody. I mean, if somebody's out there drinking alcohol, clearly that's haram and there's no question about it. But when there's doubtful matters and somebody feels like, you know, that they're not doing haram and say some other person wants to feel like they're preserving their religion and being safe, let's not judge everybody and condemn them and so forth. Let's worry about ourselves and matters that could be differing about and leave the scholars to make the decisions on those things. But yeah, at the end of the day, I would have loved for some Muslim to put an amazing, well-portrayed depiction of a prophet that people could see the beauty of the Quran in some film way. That would be awesome.
Well, is it safe to say, I mean, clearly this has nothing to do with our Noah?
Yeah, the Quranic Noah, the true Noah as we know him from prophecy that was fulfilled in the Prophet Muhammad, a miraculous man and a character becoming of only a true man of prophethood, we would say that this movie does not depict Noah. May God's peace and blessings and mercy be upon him.
Thank you so much. And may the Creator unite us to be with all the prophets, Noah, Jesus, Isa, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, to live on this way of Islam, that they live by the submission to the will of the Creator and not the creation, so we can be with all of them in Jannah, paradise. How's that sound?
Amen, brother. I'm all about it.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. You're no stranger to the show, so hopefully we'll have you back again, God willing. How's that sound?
Inshallah, God willing.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And there you have it. That was this week's show on Noah, Russell Crowe, Imam John giving it a thumbs up that it reassured him of his deen, of Islam, of the Quran, because you have a portrayal of Noah in Islam that makes sense. and a thumbs down, letting you know that has nothing to do. The film had Russell Crowe, and this film had nothing to do with the true message and the true story of Noah, who we covered in the show, letting you know that he's beloved to our hearts, just like Jesus is beloved to our hearts, and Noah and Abraham and Moses, because they all were the best of mankind. They had the best noble character. They were the best examples for mankind. So you won't find in Islam them getting drunk, doing these absurdities, major sins. No, you won't find that. And you won't find them calling people away from the Creator. They call people to worship the Creator. They call people not to worship a stick, a stone, a bone. And they warn people about creation worship. You know, you go to hellfire worshiping a human being, worshiping the planets, the sun, the stars. They warn people of this. And they gave that tender, loving advice to worship only the one who made you, your Creator. That makes sense. That was that one message of pure monotheism. And that's what Noah came with. And one more thing before we conclude, that Noah, when he was asked, remember, 950 plus years calling people to worship the Creator, not the creation, to Islam. He was a Muslim. And it was one, another one of the things that we did, Imam John brought to our attention, that the sun, the galaxies, you know, the creation, everything is submitting to God. But we have a choice. Are we going to submit to God or to our desires? So anything that submits to God is a Muslim. That's right. So Noah was a Muslim. And when Noah was asked about this life, he said, how did you find it? He was asked. He said, I found it after living for over 950 years, calling the people to Islam. He said, it was like a house with two doors. I came in one door, left the other. And that's what this life is really about. It's just a day. You'll feel like you've been in here a day, half a day, day and a half. That's it. It's gone. It's over. And what have you done with it? You just partied and played? Just followed your fancies and desires? And said, you know what? I'm just going to kick it. Life is short. No, man, forget about it. Leave all the 50 cents philosophies alone, man. And do what Noah did. Noah submitted to God. Do what Jesus did. Jesus submitted to God. Do what the last and final messenger did. He submitted to the Creator, not the creation. They call people to Islam. That's what it is. Look into Islam. Call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM and get to know it, because it's the way of life that'll bring you peace and prosperity in this life and paradise in the next. We hope to see you next time, next week, same time, same channel. Follow us on the Twitter, like us on the Facebook, and share the purpose of life with the world. Share the Dean Show so more people can benefit. We'll see you again, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.